Hey, what's up? Welcome in, everybody, to Beyond the Beat. Today we have a little bit of a different show for you. We're going to reach back a few weeks to a guest show that I did with Cody Carpentier of Roster Watch. It is a two-round Superflex mock draft. Hope you guys enjoy. Don't forget, check out the website. Use the code PODCAST to get 50% off your first month. And also watch out on Reddit for our Ask Me Anything on the Dynasty FF thread over there. The next one's going to be Friday, April 12th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Let's get on to our mock draft.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Roster Watch X exclusive rookie mock draft series. Today we're back with another rookie mock draft, this time Superflex, no tight end premium, and we're joined by the great Zach Hajduk from at 32 Beat Writers on Twitter, on X. 32 Beat Writers, my personal favorite. I got the notifications turned on. It's one of my personal favorite accounts on all of X because they play no bias. They are there to praise all the beat writers, all the writers, and all the everybody really on Twitter that shares the good knowledge. Zach, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate the moniker of the great, although, I feel like I'm still earning that. So I appreciate it. Yeah, it's been good. It's been a crazy offseason, and we had you on shortly after the Senior Bowl, and that was good on our show. So hey, I appreciate you just having me on here.
Let's get into it. We're going to go two rounds into a rookie mock draft. Like I said before, Superflex, no tight end premium. Be sure to follow along at Roster Watch for more of these mocks as we get through. We've done six of them to this point on Twitter, on X. And also remember to go follow at 32 Beat Writers because, like I just said, you need to. All right, 101. I'll start first and foremost. This is the layup of the class. It feels like right now, especially in Superflex, Caleb Williams going to be 101 to the Chicago Bears. I think a lot of conversation could be had as we get closer and as the draft potentially happens, depending on where the Drake Mays land. Depending on where Jaden Daniels lands, I do think Drake May in Minnesota is kind of interesting for fantasy football, just given that, you know, the talent that is in that offense. But we will wait and we will see. I'm going to take Caleb Williams here at the 101.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. Seems like a fairly, straightforward pick there. I guess following up then with the 102 for you, I don't know exactly how it's going to go. It seems more and more that Jaden Daniels is going to go. I have no idea. It could go two or three. I've heard multiple things for the Commanders there now at this point. I will go Daniels. I think that's how a lot of ADP is. The running upside is just there. Whether or not he sticks in the league long-term, I do have some concerns about just due to the pressure to sack ratio. You probably heard a lot of that. The listeners probably have, viewers, whoever's watching here. It's just not great. When he's pressured, he takes a sack. I'm not even talking from a longevity standpoint, but just from, if we think about Justin Fields, for instance, and why he's moving on from the Bears right now, going to have some similar concerns. Now, yes, maybe he is better from the pocket, but running upside, I'll take him there, but I do have some concerns about him.
Like Jaden Daniels, that rushing upside is going to change. It's going to be a game changer for some people in fantasy football. I am a little nervous about the New England landing spot. I think Washington would be a good one, however. But we'll see what happens on NFL draft day. 103 here in Superflex. I love me some Drake May. He's been my favorite quarterback in all of the class for over a year and a half now. I don't really have them officially ranked as far as the rankings go, but as far as this goes, I know I want Drake May in Superflex. Will I take him at the 101 like I just said before? If Drake May goes to Minnesota, and I don't know. I think that's really what it's going to end up. It's going to be a tough conversation at that point for me at the 101, but I'm going to take Drake May here at the 103 and pray he goes or ends up in Minnesota on draft night.
Yeah. That you think he's going to get to Minnesota, huh?
I think Minnesota's going to move up to two or four. I don't, if they go to four, really? It feels like they're going to McCarthy, but I'm betting on two. I'm betting on them moving up to two. I think Washington needs more than one player, obviously. I think if they move down to 11 and 23, it'll allow them to maneuver and potentially move back up from 11 and then also down from 23. It just gives them the ammo they need in this current build that they're going after.
Yeah, that'd be really, really interesting. In this, I'm assuming that maybe McCarthy ends up going. I just really find it hard for the Commanders or the Patriots to trade out. Maybe you could be right, though. I mean, we have heard those rumors. I'm actually going to probably go a little bit against the grain here, and I'm going to take Malik Nabers, number four here. We had some talk from Daniel Jeremiah today that he could go as the first wide receiver. Well, he should say that he said that he's the first wide receiver on a couple of teams' boards. And I don't think that he's saying that just for the hype or whatever. DJ doesn't tend to say anything that he doesn't at least, you know, have a pretty good beat on. So while that may or may not happen, there's a reason why that's a possibility and why that's a rumor for some teams, because he just brings a lot of explosiveness to the table. And that's what I want on my fantasy team. So as much as it would be nice to have a quarterback, I'm going to take the guy who I think could make the most impact at wide receiver.
I think you just made a big key point there, was that we do see a lot of smoke screens, a lot of BS this time of year as we get down within 5 weeks of the draft. And Daniel Jeremiah is one that I don't think you're going to get a lot of smoke from him. I think you're going to get a lot of truth and a lot of factual statements from what he's actually hearing. And it's not just stuff he's hearing from scouts, it's stuff he's hearing from, you know, people with the GM hat or with the assistant GM hat or some, you know, coaches and stuff like that. So the Nabers conversation has been had for 3-4 weeks now. Zierlein came out, said he had him as wide receiver one. I tweeted it, and Zierlein came back and he's like, I have him number one. And I was like, oh, now I don't feel some type of way about it. Because me and Alex Dunlap, Roster Watch, we had that conversation for damn 8 hours at the NFL Combine the one night. We were up till 3 a.m. just watching film on all three of these guys. And it was just, I feel really good about Nabers. I feel really good about Marv. I feel really good about Rome. So it doesn't really matter which way you splice it. I think they're all number one wide receivers in the NFL. So you take Malik here at four. I love that selection. I'm just going to go ahead and take Marvin.
I was wondering if you'd do that.
I think depending on the way it comes down after the NFL draft, JJ could be in the conversation here, but I'm just not ready to take JJ there. He's, you know, a handful of spots lower for me personally in Superflex. I think he's ready to come in and earn a role. I don't think he's ready to come in and dominate in a role. And in Superflex, I need somebody to come in and dominate and throw that ball 600 times and spread the football to weapons, not just kind of do what he did at Michigan. And I know he's better than what he did at Michigan as far as handing it off 30 times in a row against Penn State, things of that nature. But I think in the NFL, it's going to take him a little bit longer to get going. I know Marv's going to come in day one, 105.
Yeah. Yeah. And the fact that I took Nabers over him doesn't take anything away from Harrison for sure. And complete agreement with you. As everybody said, it's probably the closest thing to a not miss as we can get. So, you know, I think I'm going to actually still push JJ down the board a little bit more, and I'm going to go with Rome Odunze. Big, fast, strong. There's not a lot not to like. You could easily argue that he should be in a similar, if not the same, conversation this year in one quarterback leagues. Not that my league mates need to know this, but I am just as fine with the 101 as I am with the 103. The only caveat to that is if he goes to the Giants, not loving that. So if I do, I'm thinking of trying to trade up for the 101 and then trade back to the 103. Obviously, I do, and I would prefer the other two guys in front of him. But at this point in time, it's not that much of a difference for me. Odunze makes 50-50 balls, like 68%, you know, percent chance of him catching them. So as much as you may worry about that with some players, I'm not very worried about that with Rome going forward here. So I like him. I like him at this spot, and we're going to push JJ a little further down the board.
We've talked about JJ now for a couple picks in a row now. I'm going to take him here. In my rankings, I have him and Xavier Worthy close back-to-back, but I went through an NFL mock draft exercise this week with Alex Dunlap over at Roster Watch on YouTube. You can go check that out. And I ended up taking Xavier Worthy at pick 30 to the Baltimore Ravens. And his reaction is what really broke my brain and said, oh, remember this happens every year. You get these couple guys that go up, you push them up your fantasy rankings, and then they get the bad landing spot. And I'm not saying Baltimore's a bad landing spot. But it's a bad landing spot for an Xavier Worthy. He's going there to play the Hollywood Brown role, but Zay Flowers is already there. They're talking about Bateman. They have Derrick Henry now. They still have Mark Andrews. And, oh, yeah, by the way, Lamar Jackson still has legs. So it's not exactly the greatest landing spot. So I'm going to take J.J. McCarthy here over Xavier Worthy, but it is close.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. And that does make sense. And, you know, Xavier Worthy, I mean, the dude ran fast, but I actually like his teammate better. If we tweeted out during the combine a ton of, you know, the speed scores or like the weight adjusted speed scores or the athletic scores, I'm blanking on the exact name right now and the guy who does that, they do a very good job. And it's very interesting to see like how tall they are versus how much they weigh versus how agile they are versus how fast they run. And then, you know, all of that ranked. And it's really, really fun to see. I'm actually going to go with Brian Thomas. He's 209 pounds is what we have on him right now. We're in a 4.33. You don't get that very often at that weight. And as much as I'm impressed by the guy who broke the record there, I'm going to actually go with Brian Thomas instead with the pick eight overall there.
Thomas is a tough one for me. I'm praying, and that people have listened to me on multiple pods know exactly what I'm going to say next. Is I'm praying he goes to a Philly, a Cincinnati, a Dallas, somewhere that can be creative with him in an offense and actually utilize him. I do think he's a little bit of a one trick, but I do think in an explosive offense, he could just be as equally as dangerous as he was at LSU. So at nine, I'm going to go ahead and take Adonai Mitchell, who I again have right there with Worthy. So I'm pushing Worthy down, and I'm going to take Adonai Mitchell here at the 109. I think what he brings to the table, as far as being a wide receiver in the red zone and contested situations, I know his yards per route run was below 2.0, which, you know, is a number you want to get above. And yards per route run is one of the most translatable stats for wide receivers in the NFL. But Adonai Mitchell, when you just turn the tape on in big games, Oklahoma, Alabama, Washington, they're all there. He scores in them all. He's always dependable in the fourth quarter when you need that ball to get caught. 6'4", 196 pounds. And he ran the 4.34. Which is something we did not think he was going to do. We thought he was going to run 4.50, 4.49. We would have been happy with that. And he runs in the 4.3s. I'm ecstatic. I hope he can show that on the field in the NFL, but I'm going to take Adonai here at 109.
All right. Yeah, I like it. I like it. We're going to keep the trend moving here with Worthy falling a little bit farther. I'm going to select Brock Bowers, tight end out of Georgia. There was that photo of him next to Gronk, and I think it was a little overplayed, but you know, they got him a lot of crap for that. But I mean, the reality is he's a strong, explosive guy. At the combine, he was asked, you know, what routes he prefers or, you know, what he feels like he's best at. And his answer was basically just get the ball in my hand. I just want the ball. And I think that's what you got to do here. Now, tight ends sometimes can take a little bit. Last year, though, seemed to prove a bit different with multiple tight ends doing really, really well in the rookie class. So, I have a selection on him in a pipeline league right now, and I'm very excited about having that. So I would, I don't think it's fair for him to fall out of the first round. And at this point, I think that, you know, with 165-pound wide receiver and a couple slot guys and some questionable big guys coming up, I think this is right where he should go.
Yeah, this is the spot where I feel good taking him, is that 10-11 spot. I don't really – you know, I don't really like taking or betting on tight ends in round one. We've seen too many of them flail out. I'm not saying Brock will, but he is on the leaner side, which is kind of where the direction of the tight end is going right now. But I feel better about a few of these wide receivers. So I like the 10 spot there. And I'm going to stop the Xavier Worthy fall at 11 right here. I think he will be a first-round wide receiver in the NFL draft. The 4.2 speed is going to be just too much for people not to want to press that button, whether it's Kansas City, Baltimore, Jacksonville, whatever it is. I think Xavier Worthy is a round one wide receiver in the NFL. So I'm going to take him here 111 in this rookie mock.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see with him whether you mentioned if he's going to go in round one, and if the Texans wide receiver who, man, I'm having a hard time. I have a 6 month old who's not letting me sleep. Tankdale, thank you very much. Saving me there. You know, just the size. Are you worried about that, really? Like 165 pounds, it worked for one guy, but is it going to work for everybody who comes in and is fast at 165?
I am a little bit. I am a little bit worried with the size for Xavier Worthy. Namely, because when you talk about Tankdale, he skated. He's an elite route runner when it comes to that, and he's very good at evading people in directions that doesn't not quite the same way Xavier Worthy does. And I know Tank Dell ran a 4.48. People had a 4.44, and Xavier Worthy did an entirely different level of speed. But I'm talking about making people miss in the middle quadrants across the field, running those routes where Worthy did get banged up quite a few times over the last couple of years. He played all of 2022 with a broken hand. And, you know, that can be alluded to a lot of his drops. This year, I think he was out in like 4 or 5 games where he would go and it'd be the second or third quarter and he'd come limping off. He'd be grabbing his ankle. He'd be grabbing his knee. And he's very, very slender. But that's kind of what you get with a 165-pound guy. He can burn, but you also have to be able to, you know, deal with it when they do get banged up. So I'm nervous. But again, that's kind of why I didn't take him up there at the 9 or the 7 spot. I love him. I think his talent, all hypotheticals here, if he was 185 pounds and he ran a 4.22, it wouldn't be a question. But
right.
He's 165 pounds. So you kind of got to deal with it.
All right, I guess we'll have to see. So to round out the first round, I guess I'll take the guy who's been really putting on some steam here over the last couple weeks, starting a little bit before the Senior Bowl probably, and then especially at the Senior Bowl really picked up the pace. We're going to go with Ladd McConkey. I guess I now have two Bulldogs here. I'm a little bit worried about his participation percentages. I know that he's dealt with some injury stuff, but he's probably more of a slot guy, which I don't have as much of a problem with as some fantasy people would, but maybe that's because I'm a Patriots fan. So I don't know. We'll see with that. But I do think it's going to depend a bit on situation for him, but he was pretty impressive at times. And he seemed to be, especially like I mentioned, the Senior Bowl, one of the more consistent guys there. That was really nice to see. You know, when he was given the opportunity, 9 times out of 10, he delivered on it. And I want a guy who's going to stick when we're getting down past the first round and into the second. You know, things in a dynasty, from a dynasty fantasy perspective, start to get really, really iffy. Hits in the second round are not super great, even if you might think they are. And he's one of those guys I think might stick in the league. And that's what I'm wanting at this point.
I love Ladd. He had a great pro day the other day. I was able to go down to Georgia and watch that. And he didn't really. There was Marcus Rosemy, Jack Saint, and Jalen Johnson aren't quite on his level, so it was pretty easy for Ladd to kind of stand out there. Round one, Caleb Williams goes 101 overall. Jaden Daniels 102. Drake May 103. Malik Nabers 104. Marvin Harrison 105, followed by Roma Dunze. JJ McCarthy 107, followed by a run of receivers. Brian Thomas at 8. Adnan Mitchell at 9. Brock Bowers at 10, Xavier Worthy at 11, and Ladd McConkey at 112. We're going to drop this thing into third gear, and we're going to cook through round two. And the first pick in round two, I'm going to go running back here. I'm cool doing it. Generally, I might made a minute, but I'm going to go right here at 201. We're going back to Texas. Give me Jonathan Brooks.
Darn it. I was really hoping I'd grab him next. Yeah. Yeah, I like that. I like that. You know, I think people might be worried about his injury, but I think he has the most upside when he's healthy, in my opinion. So, did you have anything on him real quick or not?
No, I'm good. We haven't really got much from the last couple of months just due to that ACL, but I think most of these running backs have kind of worked themselves out of the number one overall spot. He hasn't done anything wrong, of course, other than have a good interview at the NFL Combine. Benson had a good testing phase, but I just didn't see enough during the season to kind of let him vault over Brooks.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll grab the QB here. Rumors about whether he might go a little higher than initially thought a couple months ago. We'll grab Michael Penix. We'll grab Michael Penix here. It is a super flex league after all.
Super flex important. Michael Penix, we know he can sling that thing. Would be interesting to see if he ends up. I just have this weird feeling about him going back to Seattle. With Ryan Grubb, his OC from Washington. I don't know if that's just a stupid correlation or not, but I do think it would be something that would behoove Michael Penix. 203 here is a little bit of a tougher conversation for me.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago, I probably would smash this Troy Franklin pick. Troy Franklin, for me, took a little bit of an L at the NFL Combine. I'm going to go back to running back. I'm going to take my RB2 here, Trey Benson out of Florida State, the big grinder. He did run the 4.3s. which is good enough at his size. Vaults him up ahead of Braylon Allen for me in the rankings and is going to be the second running back off the board here at the 203.
Yeah, yeah, you're not going to let me get any running backs here. I feel like I'm between three upside guys. You know, you got Keon Coleman, Xavier Leggett. It's not identical profiles, but they are kind of somewhat similar. You know, big body guys. I think they want it here. He wants to have his name pronounced Leggett here. So if that's incorrect, yep. Xavier Leggett, we'll go with him and just hope that his hands that we saw the first day at the Senior Bowl aren't what he's got for the rest of his career. So
that was another pro day I got to go to last week. And that video is up over at the Draft Rankings on YouTube. And he did have a couple where I was like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Like, clapping the ball. I was like, come on, man. You're better than this. And he's just got all the traits, everything you want in these big X receivers. And, you know, just he just walks around there like he's literally A.J. Brown. And you're just like, you want it so bad. I don't know. I'm very nervous about yeah. Xavier Leggett. We'll see what happens. Of course, the Carolina Panthers are now sitting there with a pick at the beginning of the second round. That's an option, of course. Wouldn't hate that. I think there's a couple other spots. I don't really know where that draft capital ends up, because we've seen guys of his stature. We've seen the DKs. We've seen the George Pickenses fall to the 60s. So I'm not sure if the helium for a fifth-year guy to go, you know, early in the second round is really going to be there. But I do like Xavier Leggett, and pick 17 here. So this is going to be pick 205 in the super flex non-tight end. I'm going to check my rankings here because I think I have one guy higher than the other. Yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and stick with the rankings here. I'm going to take Javon Baker, probably my favorite player in the class, probably my favorite wide receiver for sure. Javon Baker out of Central Florida, route running god. Reminds me a lot of Rashee Rice, a little bit of Stephon Diggs in there. I think he's going to be an alpha, not an alpha right off the bat, but I think an alpha in an offense where he's going to command a lot of targets and a lot of targets early. So I'm going to go Javon Baker, Central Florida here at 205.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. I am going to finally grab a running back here, a guy who was star. I keep mentioning the Senior Bowl, but I was there, so maybe I'm a little bit biased. The Marshawn Lloyd running back.
Yes.
I feel like he's just been kind of able to show us that he can do basically everything well, which I think is, you know, what we're looking for. He can be consistent, explosive when necessary. So I am interested to see where he goes. I think a lot of the running backs, you know, you're going to hope for maybe a third round this year, a third round NFL selection. But and a lot of people would have had Blake Corum going off the board well in advance. I was in a couple of mock drafts for DLF, one actually recently, and he went very, very highly, and maybe some people would select him here. I just can't do that yet with his size, so we're going with Lloyd.
I like that. Lloyd, you know, brings a size 217 pounds, man. He's a big bruiser up top, but he's got the sickest moves. And you saw that with your eyes down there in Mobile, as far as the agility to get in and out of holes, in and out of breaks, catch the ball, make guys miss. I think that's something Marshawn is extremely talented at. So running back three here off the board. I'm going to follow you right up with another running back, though, right off the bat. Braylon Allen, before the NFL Combine, was my RB1. Came into the NFL Combine 10 pounds light, did not run. Went to his pro day, did not run, hoping for 4.4s, didn't run. There was rumors of 4.6 out there. We don't know. We can just take what we know. And that is, we know he had a 96-yard touchdown against Illinois State, but we know Illinois State is not Penn State or Ohio State. So take that with a grain of salt and kind of just move with what it is. I think he's still up here in the top five, so I'm going to take Braylon Allen, 207.
Yeah, and you're putting me in a tough situation here. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to go grab Roman Wilson. I already took wide receiver Ladd McConkey. This is a bit of a reach here, but I don't care. It's the second round. I don't care.
I like it.
I'm taking the guy who just has done everything right, seemingly, this offseason. Had a ridiculous one-handed catch at the Senior Bowl. Loved that. He's speedy. He's not super big. You know, we've got him and McConkey now, but I just think he's going to be able to be somebody's best friend in the NFL. And that's what I'm looking for at this point.
And that's important. And that one-handed catch might have came against potentially the first cornerback off the board, Quinyon Mitchell, 4.39 Roman. I mean, he's definitely one that I don't want to say he's getting slept on, but he's getting forgotten because early on in the process, right, it was he, I will say, we thought after 3 days at the Senior Bowl, the best receiver here. And that was Brendan Rice was there, McConkey was there, numerous guys were there that have been drafted. Javon was there, Xavier Leggett was there, and Roman had the best week. So getting Roman here at 208, prior mocks, 301, 306, he went the board. I do think this is a good area to see Roman Wilson come off the board. I'm going to go running back here. I'm going to take the fifth running back, Blake Corum. I'm not the largest fan of Blake Corum, but I do think he's going to get an opportunity in an offense in probably the early part of the round three. People always point to the Chargers. I'm not sure. I believe that's probably going to be the option, but I do think his low center of gravity is going to give you some type of potential to be a Ray Rice type. 5'7", 209 is a good value here for running back by Blake Corum, who is the best pure running back in college football the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's not everything. That height, though, does worry me a bit just because there's not a lot of guys in the NFL who've really made it at that height. But, hey, you never know. Maybe he'll prove me wrong. And hopefully for him, he does. But we took two Michigan guys back there. So I think at this point I will grab – man, we could go real deep, but I probably won't. I'm going to grab another guy that I'm a little concerned about as well. I don't know what to think of him with the combine, running as slow as he did, but then seemingly running faster than everybody else during a gauntlet drill, however relevant that is. Keon Coleman, I do not like drafting guys who I can comp to N'Keal Harry, but we're going to do it. So, I mean, not the exactly same player, of course, but I just, man, he had one catch where he was just climbing the ladder like one hand, like just insane. I don't even remember who it was against. But, and that sold me a little bit early on in the process during the year this last year. But the offseason hasn't been kind to him. And I'm not sure that he's the best at separating. And if you're not right now, I don't know if you will be in the league. But at 210 here, I'm just going to take a shot and hope it works out.
All right, my last pick here, 211. I'm going to go ahead and take a guy that just had his pro day last week, another running back by running back, currently running back six. I haven't adjusted my ranking since this combine or since this pro day went official. But here at the 211, I'm going to go ahead and take Mr. Will Shipley, who they have as a 4.39. Interesting. I've seen some 4.44 stuff. But this is the tough thing here, is that the scouts have their time, and I don't know if the reported times from Clemson are the scout times or if they're the Clemson, I don't know.
Yeah.
Generally we don't get times reported like that. Normally it's my source said 4.42, whatever. Right. So I see a 4.39 means you're probably in the ballpark of a 4.42, 4.43, 4.44. I'll take it with Will Shipley. This is a high end recruit coming out of high school. He did enough at Clemson to warrant being, a respectable draft pick in the NFL. My mock draft 4.0 I did a couple weeks ago. I had him going with one of the last picks in the fourth round. Now after this pro day, I believe he bumps himself up into the early part of the fourth, late part of the third. And in this class, I think that's enough. I'm taking here 211.
Yeah. And all right. So the last pick, I've got to do something that everybody is going to cheer me for here. which is probably, man, Troy Franklin is still there, but then we got a couple of favorite guys. We should probably, in most drafts, stop the Troy Franklin skid, but I'm going to take Florida wide receiver Ricky Pearsall. Had a good enough Senior Bowl that he left the week, like 2 days in, I think. And then he's had a pretty good combine and everything since then. So, yeah, we're going to grab him to round us out.
Here we go. Ladd McConkey to 112. Ricky Pearsall to 212. Zach Hajduk from the 32 Beat Writers on X. I appreciate you, Zach, for tuning in and mocking with me in this quick two-round draft on this beautiful night.
All right. Well, there it is, everybody. Thanks again to Cody for having me on the Roster Watch podcast and X exclusive stream. If you guys could, please go ahead and check them out. Cody's regularly posting mock drafts over there for the NFL. I think the next one is posting today or tomorrow, and it's going to be a 6 or 7 rounder. The guy is a freak. Make sure to use that code podcast on the website. Check us out. We'll see you next week, guys.